Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How good is God? It's such a... Don't you love church? When you kind of come in and you're scraping in and you get here and you're probably late. I was late to team huddle this morning. It was so awkward. They all went, yay, and clapped me in and I was like, I'm here. I told them all I was praying, but I wasn't. I was just late. But when you just stand in the presence of God, this is what it's all about, this beautiful moment, surrendered. We come in with all our stuff and it's almost like an exchange, isn't it? It's like, you have that, I'll have your peace. You have my anxiety, I'll take your peace and joy. I do want to clarify something that Saundy said. It's not Beer Cottage that we're giving to, it's Bear Cottage. Did anyone else hear that? I was like, sorry, it just popped into my head. Bear Cottage. Oh, God is so good. That was so funny, Saundy. So good. Don't you love the house of God? Joy. This morning, we're going to talk about Father God. And I know that this is something that we don't focus on him a lot. We were looking at the campaigns and across the campaigns and we're like, Holy Spirit, that's amazing. And we're so grateful to have those incredible teaching on the Holy Spirit and the experience of the Holy Spirit God with us. And Christ who came from heaven and to earth in a fleshly body to die for our sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We're going to focus on Father God this morning. And what I want to do this morning is as we unravel this text in Genesis is maybe take you out of your head a little bit. Is that okay? Take you out of your control, your human limitation, and make you realize that if you remain in your human limitation, there is one who is far greater than you that wants to be in charge. There is one who is seated on the throne above all heavens and earth that wants to be in charge. I don't know what it is about humanity that wants to desperately be in charge, and he's up there going, I think I could do a better job. Anyone else? So let's pray. Father God, we just rest in your presence this morning. The word says, in your presence is fullness of joy. I thank you right now, Lord, that as the word of God is unpacked this morning, that you would once again be seated on the throne of our heart. That anything that raises up against you, anxiety, maybe fear, maybe doubt, maybe just the world issues, that would be cast down and you would be high and lifted up this morning, glorified, that we would see you in all your glory. In Jesus' name, we all said amen, amen. Thank you, band. That was so good. How good is our band? Oh my gosh, that was so beautiful. I'll get you back up at the end. I'm actually going to do something different and guys, you won't have... Oh, have a seat. Sorry. It's that moment. Sorry. I went to a wedding once and the guy forgot to get everybody to sit and we stood for the whole wedding. And it was that awkward moment of like... Do we sit? No, we don't sit. So I want to start in Ezekiel and don't worry, screens, guys. I'm actually just going to read this over the congregation because I feel like God is doing something this morning in our hearts. And I have been on this journey as of Father God. As a preacher on the team, I wrestle with this before I preach it. I wrestle with it before we write the campaign. I pray over it. Can I say what we do in these campaigns are soaked in prayer? We seek God. What do you want to do, Lord? It's not like, oh, that's a good idea. No, we soak everything in prayer because we want you to be firmly on the foundation of the Word of God, but we want you also to have really strong doctrine. We want you to know these things so that when you go out into the world and someone says, no, I am my own God, you can go, no. When somebody says, oh, you know, I decide what my future is, which is what's happening out there. Can anyone hear it? I decide what my future is. I decide what I'm doing. I decide everything about my body. And it is this understanding of there is one seated on the throne who created us. And when you get a fresh vision of him seated on the throne, no is no. When he says, no, don't touch that. No, 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 that's not good. You're mixing things. It's like a dad that comes in and says, don't touch that hot stove. It's not a good idea. Oh, why not? And it's like, well, he's not doing it out of judgment. He's doing it out of protection. So we're going to come under that this morning, but I'm going to start with this vision of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 1, and again, it's not going to come up on the screens. I encourage you to open your phones or your Bibles or bring your Bible to church. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Mine has QR codes, God forbid. Our TYB Bible has QR codes in it. And I remember somebody saying to me, are you going to put QR codes in the Bible? And I was like, it feels quite sacrilege, doesn't it? It feels quite weird. But let's have a look at 1:25. This is the vision of Father God who I'm going to talk about this morning. Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. These incredible, magnificent angels that Ezekiel has just described. And I can guarantee you've probably read this and gone, what the heck is the eyes within the eyes and the wheels within the wheels? Let me tell you, when you get to heaven, the little cherub is not going to be there. When you get to heaven, there is going to be created beings of angels that your human brain is going to go, what is that? And I cannot wait to see it. Anyone cannot wait to see the things that are beyond our own imagination, because this brain is finite. I want to see the infinite things of God. That's why I'm in the text of Revelation for my PhD, because I don't want to remain within my human limitations. I want to see things that God is doing. So here is this, above the vault, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. There you go. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. This is Father God. The Bible, when it describes Father God, describes him in glorious light. We actually don't know what Father God looks like beyond that light, because our human eyeballs can't see it just yet. How amazing is that? Let me ask you, when you see this picture, when you have this picture in your brain, how big are your problems compared to him? When you start seeing him high and lifted up and glorified, a light that is so bright that I cannot even see beyond it, what we need to do is put him on the throne again and our problems down under our feet. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to finish here. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. That is the God we serve. So I'm going to be in Genesis 15 this morning. It's a prophecy. We have a joke here at church. Don't put water on the pulpit when Katie Haldane is preaching. Because I do exactly that. Sorry, guys. Genesis 15, 1-6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord. I want you to say that. Sovereign Lord. What can you give me, since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. I love this story. This word here, sovereign Lord, is Adonai. And we're going to talk about this. Because in these campaigns, we're talking about the names of God. Didn't you love how Pastor Al did those names? And he did so well. I was like, don't read them out. They're really hard. El Shaddai, and he did those names. What God is revealed in the Old Testament is through these names, these declarations. Here's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And what you've got to do in the Old Testament is kind of pull these names out to know the nature of our God. And as he's revealing this to Abraham, Abraham actually says, Sovereign Lord. This is Adonai. 400 times in the Bible, this is Lord. It's a mix of Yahweh, it's a mix of Jehovah, and it's a mix of Adonai. But what it means is ruler, master, I'm in charge. Basically, that's what it means, that beautiful sense of Adonai. And I love the fact that this story, church, is when Abraham is at the point where his flesh cannot do what the promise is for his life. He looks at his flesh, he looks at Sarah, he looks at the circumstance around him and he says, this is not going to happen if it happens just within my own flesh and my own power. I need a higher power. Anyone need a higher power this morning? I need a higher power. Sometimes I look at my body and say, Lord, I need a refund. I don't know what happened, but this thing broke. I don't know what I did down here, but this, could I have a refund? But let me tell you, I know the one who created my body. So when my body does those things, I say, Creator, I need you to fix this thing. I know the one who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, so that when my finance on this earth, I look at my bills and I'm like, heavens, I know the God who is far above those things. When you start to get a vision of Father God, and again, I'm not denoting Christ or the Holy Spirit, when you start to get this beautiful stool that has three strong legs, you've got a surety of confidence in the God who created you in heavens and earth. I think sometimes we battle with that because we don't know how great and magnificent he is. Let's have a look at Isaiah. I love this scripture, 42:8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. Sometimes you need to remind yourself and your situations, he is the Lord and he is in charge. And I love that sound. So when we're looking at this word sovereign, I know some of you may get a little bit antsy about that, because sovereign can seem like a dominant tyrant that wants to control me. But let me tell you, sovereign means ruler that possesses supreme and ultimate power. It's not about domination, it's about protection. It's not about just controlling you, it's about saying, hey, you cannot do this on your own. I recently got to preach at a church that was in Melbourne, and I'm with family now, so I can be completely honest. I was terrified. I was so scared. I said to Jackson after, I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like I walked in and it was huge, and I was like, nope. What I actually wanted to do was run out the door. So I was praying in my room, and I'm praying, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm getting ready. And the anxiety was getting higher and higher and higher as I thought about what I was doing. And I just stopped and I was like, Lord, what am I doing? And the anxiety had overtaken me. And he said, get out of this room. Because remember, when we go back, and I'm going to have a look at this Genesis account, Abraham is in a tent in his own little world, in his own thoughts, in his own desires, in his own humanity, in his own power. And he's in this room, and he's this tent, and he's like, woe is me, I don't have a child. The promise is never going to happen. Let me tell you, no, the promise is never going to happen if it's up to you. But God says, I need you to get out of that tent. I need you to come out of your own self-limitation. I need to come out of your own control. I need to come out of your own way this is going to be answered. And I need you to look up at the stars. Some of us today need to get out of our head. And so that's what happened to me. I was anxious. I was overwhelmed. I was panicking. And he said, get out of this room. And so I went for a walk. And I was laughing. I put praise worship music in my head. And I was being the one that was like, yes, God, so amazing. The bigness of God came over me. So my vision wasn't limited to my own self, but it was limited to how great my God is. And that's unlimited. Some of you this morning need to look at your circumstances and get out of your head. Some of you this morning need to stop thinking of how you are going to do it and start just asking God, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do in this circumstance? How are you going to do it? So let's go back to Genesis 15:1. It says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your great reward. I love the first thing that God says to Abraham is, don't panic. I'm not here to harm you. I'm your shield and your great reward. Some of you this morning, I understand the battle with Father God, and I understand that sometimes if you haven't had an earthly father that really portrays that, to surrender to a higher being or to surrender to a father is actually quite too much. But let me tell you, he's good. He is your shield and your great reward. He's the one that wants to protect you. He's the one that wants to take care of you. He's the one that wants to provide for you. I love it he says, Sovereign Lord. This is this moment where he realizes this is not going to happen in my own flesh. This is beyond me. Is anyone facing anything this morning that is beyond you? Then praise God, you serve an incredible God. Praise him that you serve somebody who is seated in heavenly places. Verse 5, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. I love this. If indeed you can count them. It's kind of like a, you ain't going to be able to count them. It's this moment where God says, come out of this tent, come out of your limitations and see how great I am. Come out of your own thought and your own power and see how, and he says, look at the stars. Maybe you this morning need to come out of your own anxiety and come out of the things and come out of your own thoughts on your business or your life or what God is going to do and how God's going to save your family and literally just say, God, let me see the stars. Because let me tell you, in that tent, your vision is all about you and a little slit outside, and what he wants is a big vision. When you have a big vision of your God, you will do mighty things. Not because of us, not because of our own strength. Not, I mean, honestly, I'm on my knees, but I do know that my God is huge. Honestly, we do great things, not in our own strength, but in the strength of God. I love the fact that God got them out of their comfort zone. Comfort zone is death. Even though as an introvert, I love my comfort zone. Anyone else? I'm like, why did you make it so comfortable if you didn't want me in a comfort zone? It's so nice. But let me tell you, staying in your own limitation, that's not going to help you. Come out this week and read Ezekiel. Wheels upon wheels, weird things happening there. Let your brain go there. Have a look at Revelation and say, oh my gosh, are we okay? Yes, we're okay. Because let me tell you, he is above your finite brain. He's got things going up over there that our finite brain, and he's infinite, all powerful. I love this moment where Abraham, God takes Abraham out and he says, I am in charge. In Romans 4, 18 to 21, this is the New Testament sovereign kind of sanctified version of events. It says, against all hope. Who's against all hope this morning? Who's believing in something that is impossible? Who's believing in something that maybe your body is not doing well? Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's salvation. Let me tell you about salvation for your family members. He created them and loves them more than you. You're not pushing him to get them saved. He's pushing you to get them saved. He's running ahead going, I love them. I desperately don't want them to die. Do something. When we get that understanding of how incredibly sovereign and loving God is, he's involved in everything. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. I love this moment. He's looking at his own limitation, his own humanity, and he goes, it ain't going to cut it. Anyone else? You're looking at your bank account going, Lord, help me. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. I love this moment. It's not just like I'm dead. It's like she's dead. It's like, let's just bring Sarah into this mix. Just keep your own body to yourself, Abraham. Who cares about Sarah? But he has to bring Sarah in, and she's dead as well. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Let me tell you, what he promises, he has the power to fulfill. If you get out of the way. It's not actually about, oh my gosh, God, help me, help me. It's about God wants to do it, is going to do it. And sometimes what things are happening in your head, you're limiting God. Imagine it like this. If God and your anxieties and your fears were in a room, would you think it would be an even fight? If God and your bills were in a room, is that an even fight? No. Then why do we accept that? Why do we look at our bills and look at, oh my gosh, I'm not sure. No, I know a one seated on the throne who is so glorious and so radiant above heavens and earth. And I've got to switch that on, don't I? Because the world is telling me it's all about me and it's all about me being in control and it's all about, it's actually not. It's about me letting control and letting God be God. That's an amazing moment where you are surrendering. I shared this morning and I'm going to share it here. I'll finish the scripture first because that's a much better way. But God was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Church, we need to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he had promised. I was 21 and I was battling with... I'll share it here, endometriosis. I had severe endometriosis. I had just gone through these things. I was passing out. I was fainting. I was in hospital all the time. I was battling all of this stuff and I was on my own. I felt very much on my own. And I was just like, okay, this is how, and the doctor had told me what I needed to do to get through it. And you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this. And I was very much in my own humanity. Anyone felt that? I was like, this flesh ain't going to cut this. I need something bigger. This is not going to work. They had said, it's incurable. You'll be like this for the rest of your life. And I was like, I need God. So I was in my bedroom praying, and in my generation, which is a little bit older, third day was huge. Anyone remember third day? And Show Me Your Glory came on and I started to sob. I started to cry and weep and just get this understanding of when your humanity and your limitations is telling you it's not going to happen, lift up your eyes, get out of your tent and see an incredible God. So I said to God, I just need to touch heaven. I just need you to show me that you are beyond all of these doctors' reports. I just need a little glimpse. I know with Moses, he said, show me your glory. And I know he could only see your backside, but could I just see your backside? Maybe anything, a toe would be good. Anything. I just need something. Well, I was a youth pastor at the time and I walked into Wyong High School to set up. And, you know, you never know when God's deciding to answer your prayers, right? And so I walked into one and I got two steps in and I fell flat on my face. Flat on my face. And I felt, never felt it since, but I felt this expanse of someone sitting on my back. And he was magnificent and holy and big and huge. And my body was shaking and I was weeping and weeping and weeping. It wasn't just fear of, oh my goodness, what did I pray? Could I reverse that? It was more, I've limited you. I put you too small. And I remember just being flat on my face with this beautiful God just surrounding me. And I was too scared to look because I was like, I know what happens when you look, so I'm just going to keep my eyes on the ground. And I just remember this overwhelming sense of I am God. Don't underestimate me, Katie. And I've always had that revelation from that moment on, don't underestimate him. When your things look big and when everything on this earth looks big and when your humanity seems like it's at its limitation, I know the God who is above that. I know the God who's seated on a throne. Come on, give him a hand this morning. And I don't say that because I'm holier than it. No, I think it was this moment where Father God comes in and almost like at the end of Job and says, don't question. Don't question how powerful I am. So I just want to go through four things that I learned as I was studying about this understanding of Genesis 15 and sovereign Adonai. First thing is this, he's not a tyrant or a judgmental father. He's simply not. I know maybe that is your experience on an earthly father, but do not put that on him. He is not a tyrant, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. He is willing to give up his son to be in relationship with you. Adonai has to do with this position of leadership. He is, however, in charge. He is, however, in control. And if you're a control freak like me, then you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to let go and surrender because he is a good Lord and master that knows greater than you. Genesis 15:1, I'm going to repeat this. It says, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. He is with us. Church. Second thing, Jesus taught that God was his Lord and Master, which is kind of like a most amazing thing, right? Jesus himself, while he was on the earth, surrendered to Father God, not out of submission or being lower. Look at this in John 14:10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. He actually says in another scripture, I can only do what the Father tells me. If he had to surrender while he was in this human body because of the limitation of his human body, how much more do we? Don't panic if your limitation of your finances and your everything and your expectation and your flesh can't do it. Rejoice because you're now in the realm of Father God. Rejoice because now it's up to him and he does far better. Anyone else? He does far better than me. Don't panic and, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Let go and let God. Third, we are created to need him as Lord and Master. I know generation out there is saying, I don't want anyone governing me. I don't want anyone mastering over. I am my own God. But we are actually created to surrender to him. We have a God hole that says we cannot do this on our own. We desperately need a father. We desperately need him. Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. If this is a struggle this morning of surrender, get to know him better. Lastly, and I'll get the band to come up, don't underestimate him. Do not under. I was listening to Dan's song, Have You Forgotten? And I drove in the car and I was like, every time Dan says it, I'm like, I have. Anyone else? Have you forgotten? Let me remind you how great is your God. This morning, I want to remind you how great is your God. This morning, I want to remind you that he is a good father that delights to give you the kingdom. This morning, I want to remind you that if you are at the limitations and you've gone to the edge of your tent, get out of the tent. If you've done everything in your own strength to make this happen and you've done everything, it's time? Get out of your tent, look up at the stars. See how great your God is. I love in Job 38, 1-4, it's the wrestle of God and Job, and it's the end. He says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Oh, how good is that? It's the moment where Father God on Mount Sinai, the thunder, the lightning starts to speak. Has anyone had that moment where you're testing your father's patience and then the dad voice kicks in? You know, you test, and then it's like, Katie Ann Haldane. When I was a kid, if I got my foot, because my name's not just Katie, my name's Katie Ann, like Leanne. Nobody calls me that except my dad when I'm in trouble. Katie Ann Haldane, I know I've kind of pushed the boundaries. This is the moment where God speaks to Job in the middle of it, out of the storm, and he says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? It's a bit like, puny human, stop trying to know me in your little finite brain. Stop it. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Imagine Job going, all right, I take back every question. I love this, church. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Father God, seated on the throne, high and lifted up, laid the earth's foundations. And he wants an intimate relationship with you. How amazing is that? He wants to get involved in your plans. And you know what? The only thing is, let him. Come out of your tent. Come out of your own limitations and start looking up. With every head bowed, I'm going to get you to close your eyes because this is between you and God. I feel like God is working on our hearts as a church to get a bigger vision of how incredible he is. I know COVID was hard. And it brought us very into our own flesh almost. It brought us into the realities of being a human and what that looks like and very much out of our own control. But do not let that limit how incredible your God is. So as we just close our eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning on what he wants. What does your tent look like? What's your limitation look like? Is it anxiety? Is it doubt? What are you looking at and saying, I can do that, where God's like, come out. So we can look at the stars. But as you pray and just wait on God in that moment, if you've come in here and you've never said yes to Jesus, Father God so loved you that he sent his son in flesh to die on a cross for you so that you could be reconciled to him. So that sin that separated you, that sin that separated us from Father God, that sin that separated us so we could not come into his presence is dealt with and done away with by the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And all he says to us is, say yes, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Revelation says there is no way to the Father but by him. He's the door, Revelation 3. He's the one knocking on the door of your heart saying, hey, let me in. And all he asks is that you open it. And if that's you this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, with every head bowed and eye closed, I want you to put up your hands. Now, this is not for me to embarrass you. It's not for me to drag you down the front. Basically, what I'm finding out is who's praying this prayer so that the team can talk to you after. But if that's you and you need to say yes to Jesus, then I want you to boldly put up your hand right now. We're going to wait, church. Come on. Father God sent his son so that he could be reconciled. Maybe you've walked away from God and maybe this is a rededication moment. Maybe you've walked away from church. Maybe you got offended and this is God saying, hey, come back to me. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. I know that there are people in here that need to pray this prayer. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Church, we're going to pray this prayer together. Say this after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life this morning. I repent of my sin. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Wash me clean. Set me free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.